We have peace with God. Only blue are the extra digits, okay? That you weren't expecting, or you maybe didn't realize you were from God. To our Lord Jesus, to gain access into grace in which we stand. Okay, I'm not going to read it all again, but everything in black, look, we have, and, not only so, but we also, and, it's just more and more things being added. These are the consequences of being justified. With all these good things, and therefore, sort of, just, oops, wrong way. He then sort of pauses just to elaborate what he's saying. He sort of backtracks and says, when you were ungodly, when you were powerless, Christ died for you. While you were still a sinner, God loved you so much that he died for you. Hardly ever will somebody die for somebody else. Can't you hear every person who might? But while you were a sinner, while you were ungodly, while you were cut off from God, while you were nasty, God loved you so much that he laid down his life. He died for you to justify you, to put you back in that relationship with him. If God did that while you were sinners, how much more blessings are going to be now you're right with him? Right, you see his argument? Some of us, I don't know, we come to God and we know we're forgiven and we're very grateful. We live the rest of our life sort of still slightly worried in case God's not pleased with us. Or in case we're sort of not really quite as forgiven as we thought. Paul is saying, no, he died for you when you had that relationship with him, when you were a sinner. How much more, now you are justified, is God going to bless you? So having sort of pause to explain his thinking, he picks it up again and says again, since we've been justified, he repeats our phrase. How much more, not only, but also, he keeps adding blessing upon blessing upon blessing, now that you are right with God. See? Sometimes we preach a very sort of, and it's great, but it's very sort of limited and transactional gospel. You know, God created you, but you're a sinner, so he died for you, so you won't go to hell, you go to heaven. I mean, hallelujah, that's good. It's probably the most important thing you need to know. But it's only where the story starts. How are you going to justify it? So much more. This is really where Paul's going. Okay, now he sort of touches on all those bits in blue, and he just sort of, you know, it's almost as if he's just sort of, there's this, and then there's this, and then there's this, and not only this, but there's that. He doesn't really elaborate on them all at the moment. But very quickly, what have we got? We've got peace with God. Hebrew word is shalom, which means well-being. It's a sort of holistic word. It means all is well with you. All your relationships, all your inner life is healthy, peaceful, and in order. The Greek that is translated here, we have peace with God, could equally mean, let us have peace with God. And some translations put it like that, or there's a footnote that says it could be. Because it's justified, we do have peace with God. But partly, maybe what Paul is saying is, yeah, let's have peace with God. You can, so let's be at peace with God, with yourself, because he's justified. We stand in grace. The New Living calls it, we stand in this place of undeserved privilege. We're no longer fighting for our place with God, or in the universe, whatever place you are trying to compete for. Is that divine grace? Not only that, but we have hope of the glory of God. Paul doesn't unpack what that means, but it's forward-looking, isn't it? Okay? There is one idea that holds all the verses 1 through 11 together. It's the idea of hope. Justification deals with your, you know, the past. Now, because you're justified, sins are dealt with, there's all sorts of hope for the future. There's peace now, hope for the future. We can, Paul says, we can even glory in our sufferings. There will still be suffering. But in God, it can have a positive purpose. Can people hear me? Suffering produces character, character produces endurance, endurance produces hope. So even suffering in God's hands could be turned into a positive purpose. And we have a hope that doesn't let us down. It doesn't disappoint us. Everybody needs hope to live by, to be psychologically able to keep going. But people can hope all sorts of things that let them down. Hope we've got will never let us down. How do we know? Because God has given us the Holy Spirit who pours out the love of God into our hearts. Paul is saying, we know that the hope we've got of future glory. We know that the hope that even our sufferings are going to be turned to God. We know that hope won't let us down. Why? Because we've got the Holy Spirit. Paul elsewhere describes the Holy Spirit as a deposit or a down payment. Yeah? Once. You know, once you, if you're providing a service to someone, once they give you a deposit, you're pretty sure that the rest is going to come with you. It's not just words from God. He's already given you the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, He's already put that love of God into your heart. You already know how much God loves you. You've already experienced the Holy Spirit. That is the tiny down payment, a deposit of the full hope of the glory of God that Paul says we now have. He says, how much more? Now we're justified, or we're saved from wrath. We don't need to fear dying in the judgment seat. We don't need to fear that we'll go to hell. We won't. We are saved through His life. It's all in Romans 1 to 11. I said, there's a sermon, it's even a preaching series on almost any one of these. But Paul is just for the moment saying, don't be justified. Let's start to look at everything else that means for our lives in God. Now, and our hope for the future. Fantastic. Now, not only this, but we boast in God. What do you boasting? You know, boasting generally is a bad thing. In fact, the early one in Romans, Paul is saying, we are all sinners. We're saved by the death of Jesus. By faith, there is no boasting. We can't boast in ourselves. He said, but we can boast in God. If you want to